education was a main topic of discussion during most of the legislative session. As the legislature comes to a close, K-12 education took a $30 million cut, and a couple of constitutional amendments that could have done further damage failed. Senate Education Chairman Hank Coe and Senate Minority Leader Chris Rothfuss join Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck to size up what happened.
Senator Coe, you've been a longtime supporter of education, but in the last few years, you have supported a lot of these cuts. Explain to folks why.
Well, I think, my approach to it has been, and I was here when we started funding education better, as was Senator Rothfuss. He and I worked together on a lot of stuff. But my approach was initially that if, through the recalibration process, if you look at what we saw from market analysis, from salary structures, we were spending significantly more than surrounding states, the adjoining states to us, the closest to us being Montana at $5,000 per student less than us, that I felt that we could make some reductions, hopefully sustain our good school system, that there was some fluff in there that we could take out. And so that's kind of been my approach all along. Now, I will say that a lot of that approach is Senate leadership approach as well. Mm-hmm. To make some reductions before we do revenue raising. That's probably the major difference between the House and the Senate.
I want to just push back a little bit, and because one of the things, when I listen to Senate leadership talk sometimes, it almost sounds like it's my fault or it's the teacher's fault or it's the principal's fault that we're in this situation with education. Isn't it truthfully, I'm going to tease you now, but isn't it truthfully your fault?
Well, I don't have any question about it. The legislature is the one that, legislative grace. We talked about that again on the floor today. We take an evidence-based model from consultants and we tack on all the ornaments on the Christmas tree to the tune of another $75 million. And we pretty much made our bet in this deal. Going back the last 10 years, there's no question about it. We're the ones that chose to do legislative grace. We're the ones that chose to fund education at the level we're funding it.
So I'll ask you a tough question. Isn't it fair, though, that with some of the spending they've done, that you could come back and probably cut some money?
Well, over the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've taken all of those ornaments off the Christmas tree and sold them, realistically. It's at a point now where we are at or below the actual consultants' model. We did another recalibration this last year. They came up with a recommendation for a cost of around $70 million more than what we're spending right now. So we definitely did have legislative grace 6 or so years ago. But at this point in time, it really isn't there anymore. We are at or slightly below that amount of money.
One of the things that's happened, in fact, it's happened in the last couple of weeks, is we're seeing a number of superintendents that are starting to resign, and I think some of them are suggesting publicly it is because of some of this and some of this attitude. How much of a concern is it as you look forward, knowing you've got teacher retirements coming and that kind of thing, that there could be some setbacks in education?
I don't know. I wasn't aware the superintendents were resigning. The life of a superintendent in a district is pretty limited anyway, normally. One of the things we did find out in the recalibration is that the administrators are paid significantly on the average around the state higher than what the model provides. And, that's in there. There's just no question about that. Even my good buddy Senator Rothfuss would agree to that.
Even I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is true. We see about 30% over what the model says, and when you look at neighboring states, it still looks high.
That sounds like a local control issue again.
It's a local control. I think we got to remember that we fund all 48 districts with a block grant. It's made up of components that have recommended funding, but they still get a block grant. They can still spend the money any way they want to. And so that's why we see over 600 non-hired teachers that the model provides across the state. Districts have chosen to pay their teachers better, pay their superintendents better, and that's their local control. That's why they're local elected boards.
Sounds like you need to be one of the speakers of the School Board Association and ask them not to pay so much.
I don't know if that'd be a good idea, Bob.
We're visiting with Senators Hank Coe and Chris Rothfuss as we wrap up the session a little bit. Let me just jump to this. You did some good things for education. There was some interesting legislation this year, some things that really might improve things. And, the one that jumps out right away is this computer science.
Computer science has been a win-win, and today was a remarkable day because the House passed our Senate file 29-59-1 or something like that. But the good senator from Laramie and I, we worked on this in the interim. We had wonderful, wonderful testimony, particularly by a young group from Powell. And so the computer science is a real win because this is the future for our young people. Absolutely no question about it as they go into society and, you know, the workplace. So that was a win-win, no question about it.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm very enthused about it also. And Senator Coe and I have been trying to strengthen math, science, math, science, and computer education for several years now. And this is probably the best piece of legislation that we've seen pass that does that. We were really aggressive with it. It's a piece of legislation that puts us out in front of what other states are doing, where we're promulgating standards for computer science, and we're basically requiring that all students in the state throughout their K-12 education get exposure to computer science and computational thinking, and that really will put us ahead of the pack.
Okay, so we've got a funding issue in the state, I think, how do you resolve the revenue situation? Have you cut what you can cut?
Close. I think we're pretty close. I think that came out in this session. You know, we sent Senate File 117 over to the House, and that had $75 million in it. I think there are those, we just had quite a debate on the floor, there are those on the floor here in the Senate that think that we should cut more, but I think we're pretty close. I think, you know, we're spending money that we have right now. You know, the House's approach was to do diversions in the budget bill, but our approach was to spend money, and that includes the LSRA, mm-hmm. Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, which is our rainy day fund. We're in better shape to deal with this budget shortfall than we were 10, 12 years ago when I dealt with it last time, because yeah. Now permanent mental trust fund's $8 billion. We have $1.5 billion in a rainy day fund, and so things are better. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think we're in a position right now where we have to really be serious about diversifying our revenue, and we've talked before about that. It's not just a matter of let's raise taxes. It's really a matter of let's be thoughtful about what the tax structure in Wyoming in the future needs to look like if we're trying to diversify the economy, because we don't have a tax structure that can deal with a diversified economy. Somebody the other day said that we should de-diversify the economy because the only thing we tax is coal, oil, and gas, and I thought, yeah, that's probably accurate at this point. We have a significant revenue shortfall, around $900 million for the next biennium, and we can patchwork cover that internally through investment revenue and through savings. But you can't sustain that. That's not something that in the long run is going to be workable.
Even if you did what the House did, you're just, you know, I hate to use this term, but you are doing it, kicking the can down the road.
Yes, the term I use is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, realistically. It, that's what we're doing. New revenue is essential. That does mean new taxes or different taxes. And there's no way we can just bank on Wall Street to continue to provide the yields they're providing and solve our problems.
Yeah, diversification. I mean, you know, we've been very successful with a company up in my place. And you've been really, you know, Cody Labs, you've been very successful in Laramie with what's going on over there. Cody Labs is just, you know, on its way to employ 350 people. That's the kind of stuff we need, but they still, through assessed valuation, of commercial assessed valuation, 11.5% of market, it's still going to take so much of that to pick up the slack that Minerals used to carry.
And so maybe as we have these revenue discussions, we get off the traditional stuff and focus more on what's necessary.
Yeah, we talk about the idea that we want to add manufacturing. That's a great example. But we have so many tax exemptions and so little taxation on manufacturing that if we added 500 new manufacturing jobs, it wouldn't produce the tax base to pay for the families of those individuals. It'd be a net liability for the state. So it isn't just a matter of that economic diversification to help us pay the bills and pay for education. It really is a matter of figuring out how we should appropriately tax those diverse industries. And Cody Labs is an example where if we did an analysis, they probably wouldn't be paying the way of the families and their needs on the society up there. And instead, that's then being compensated for by the oil and gas industry and coal.
Senators Chris Rothfuss and Coe, a pleasure. Thank you.